Why, Lord? Why did this have to happen? I've asked that question at times in my life. Perhaps you have done so also. Why? Martha says to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here. Isn't she really asking why? Why, Jesus, did you wait 2 extra days before coming here? You're only near Jerusalem, 2 miles away. Why, Lord, couldn't you have said something right there and then, just as you had cured the centurion's serving boy? We don't know the answers to those questions of why. We could try to understand, but that's almost beyond our limits as human beings. How can we, as poor, simple human beings, creatures of God, begin to fully understand God's ways? Instead, rather than trying to answer this question why, and most likely ending up in frustration, anger, even despair, we turn to our Lord in faith. Notice, when Jesus is at the tomb, about ready to perform the miracle, he says to Martha, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life. Do you believe this? He doesn't ask Martha, do you understand this? No, he asks, do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord. I've come to believe that you are the Son of God, the Savior. And so, my brothers and sisters, given this, as we live our life of faith, we have to remember we believe in Jesus for who he is, our Lord and Savior. And with that, we have to believe that God loves us. He loves us beyond our imagining. God truly loves each one of us here. God has made us in his image and likeness, setting us above any of the other creatures on the face of this planet. God also has given us our Savior. We read those beautiful words that our Lord himself spoke. God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. So that's a fundamental premise. God loves us. Therefore, we have to also believe that, as Jesus said, everything is going to work out for the glory of God. As St. Paul said, for those who love God, everything works out for good. Consider this very miracle here. Now, Jesus is going to perform the miracle. This is his last miracle before his own passion, death, and resurrection. He's already cured the blind, the paralytics, and so on. He's changed water into wine, multiplied the loaves and the fish. He's calmed the storm. He's exorcised demons. But now there's the final enemy, death. The final enemy, death itself. And here our Lord raises Lazarus back to life. Jesus shows, that he truly is the Lord and Savior, the one who has authority over all of creation, even death and evil itself. Now keep in mind that this miracle is simply a reflection of who Christ is. Because Lazarus comes back to life, but he's going to have to die again. This really simply sets the stage for the greatest action of God to come, and that is the passion, death, and resurrection. We recall that just a short time from here, our dear Lord goes to the death of the cross. In faith, though, we see the glory of God. Jesus, as priest, offers himself as the sacrifice for our sins to his heavenly Father. By his blood, he reconciles us to the Father. But it's not simply a death-rendering sacrifice. Our Lord on Easter Sunday rose to a glorified life. He has conquered not only sin, suffering, death itself. He's opened the gates of heaven. So truly we can say, if God truly loves us, what can separate us from the love of God? What can possibly be so disastrous as to overwhelm us? As St. Paul again said, for those who love God, everything works out for good. You and I have to hold on to this. In just 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating Easter. So we've entered this situation of Passion Tide, where things are covered. There's that mysterious part of our faith. Christ, in a sense, has gone into hiding. But this makes us really profess our faith, to say, yes, I believe. Because, my brothers and sisters, we face the circumstances of life. And sometimes life is just downright tough and hard to understand. For instance, we face natural disasters, what one could call physical evils. Well, we live on this planet, and this planet is always in a process, in a sense, of creation. There's those constructive forces, destructive forces, but that's the way the planet works. Sadly, at times, though, that means what we would call a natural disaster. Just this week ago, or a week ago, we had that mudslide in Washington State. Over 30 people lost. Who would have thought? Who would have expected that? There's an earthquake in California this week. Who would have thought? Who would have expected it? Hope to God they were ready for that. But don't we see beyond this? How does the glory of God fit into this? Well, one, we would hope that if a person dies in the faith, that person has a better life with Almighty God. But also, don't we see the generous outpouring of faith that people have gone to help, to assist those who are the victims of this? Or I think a year ago when there were those awful tornadoes in Oklahoma, the news had an interview with this little lady. She was 91 years old. She'd already had a tornado knock down her house years before, and now it had happened again. And she said, well, I'm still living, and God will get me through this. What a tremendous act of faith. And so, the glory of God shines forth, even in those troublesome times when we might ask, why? Things will work out for good. Or, we face the times of moral evil, when people do bad things. Yes, God loved us so much, He gave us a soul with an intellect, a free will. You and I make that fundamental choice to love God and to follow what is true and good in God's eyes, or to reject God and follow what is evil and wrong, to live a life of sin. We make that choice. And sadly, we are affected by the choices that not only we make, but other people make too. Who would have thought this week that there would have been a soldier at Fort Hood who took the lives of other soldiers, whether killing or wounding and so on. And then we know that just a week before that, there was that shooting down at the Norfolk Naval Base. And we could go on and on. Our news is filled with such kinds of evil actions, shootings at grade schools, high schools, movie theaters, shopping malls, and so on. And one could say, why didn't God do something about it? Well, God allows us to exercise our free will. But is there goodness that comes out? Is there some glory to God? Yes. Again, hopefully, anyone who dies is ready for death. But we see again that maybe there will be better security. Perhaps there will be better help given to soldiers who are wounded, not just physically, but mentally, psychologically. We could think of many acts of goodness shown, like at the Fort Hood shooting. I heard that a chaplain actually used himself almost like a screen so others could fly to safety. So there is goodness that comes out. But then we think about our own lives too. We face troubles in our life, disasters, be it something like a financial disaster, a health crisis of some kind, death itself. How do we approach that? Yes, there are those that say, "Why, Lord?" And they respond with anger, rejection, even despair. But we have to have faith. Things will work out for good. And so, I remember a family. They had built a business, very successful, had everything that anyone could ever want in this world. The problem was, they didn't have love in a marriage. They didn't have love in a family. And disaster came. There was some crisis in the economy, and they lost it all. But what they gained was a renewed love in their marriage, a renewed love as a family. They had to turn to each other. And now they're living more faithful lives. Or I think of a man in my other parish, Ron, can still picture him. He called up, and this goes back 20 years, and he said, "I'm dying." So I went to see him. Well, he was dying of AIDS. He had given up his wife, his kids, to follow a sinful lifestyle, and he was dying of AIDS. Now, that's a very tragic, painful kind of death. But the goodness that came out of this was he was reconciled to God and the church with his wife and with his family. The goodness of God worked through this. Or we think of just death at times. All of us know that we will face our own death, and many of us here have faced the death of people that we love. I've lost my own father, who died of a heart attack at age 66. And yes, we could say, "Why? Why, Lord?" Well, we don't know why, but we have to hope that being in a state of grace, that person has gone on to a better life. And would any of us be so unfaithful that we'd want to just bring that person back to this world, of all things, with all the challenges and trials that we face? Don't we believe in heaven? Hopefully so. And so, my brothers and sisters, we're called to have a greater vision of faith, to remember God loves us, and everything is going to work out for good for those who love God. Yes, God does challenge us at times, because consider this. If life were just like a paradise, and everything was just going wonderfully well, and we had everything we could possibly desire, would we need God? Would we pray? Would we bother worshiping God? Would we start thinking, "I'm independent, I can make my own rules, I have my own kingdom"? Yes, we would. Think of our first passage. The Jewish people had become a great nation, and yet they had turned to false gods. They had forgotten the covenant, broke the commandments. God sent the prophets like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and so on to say, "Come back, repent, or destruction's going to come." They rejected the prophets, and what came? Destruction. Yes, the Babylonians came down, destroyed the army of Israel, ransacked the city, destroyed the temple, and we could go on and on. They brought it on themselves, thinking, "I can live without God. Paradise now." No such thing. So God gives us the challenges to make us depend upon Him, to make us realize we need God. And when we face those challenges, and as St. Paul says, by living in the Spirit, knowing the presence of our Lord, then we grow. Consider Lazarus. When he came back from the dead, do you think his life changed? Absolutely. He probably lived his life closer to the Lord than ever before. He probably appreciated Martha and Mary more than ever before. He probably realized, "Each day is a precious gift of God. Why am I always stressing out? Why sweat the little things? Enjoy the gift of life that God has given to me." I would think so. And maybe if we looked at our own lives and the challenges that we faced and really turned to our Lord more, we would have that same vision of life. Because when we live in the Spirit of Christ, as St. Paul says, we will find compassion. From the Latin, quum patior, to suffer with. Christ suffers with us, but to bring us to a greater love. We will find comfort from the Latin cum fortis, meaning with strength, the strength of Christ himself to get us through it. So my brothers and sisters, this gospel challenges us not simply to be left with a question, why? No, but to say, I believe. I truly believe, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. St. Teresa of Avila, the great Spanish mystic, wrote, let nothing trouble you, let nothing frighten you. Everything passes, God never changes. Patience obtains all. Whoever has God wants for nothing. God alone is enough. So remember, God loves you. And for those who love God, everything works out for good. There's the message that we're ready to celebrate this Easter. May God bless you.